We're continuing the shiur in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Hilchos Nizkei Shcheinim, Halacha Dalet, Paragraph Zayin. This halacha we mentioned is based on the final shiur that Rabbeinu Zal gave of his lifetime. The last public shiur that he gave, which was on Rosh Hashanah, Tov Kuf Ayin Aleph, where he gave the Torah that's known as Tiku Toichacha, Chapter 8, in the second half of Likutei Moran, which is a long chapter. And Rabbeinu Zal at the time had been sick with tuberculosis for 3 years. He was coughing up blood, and the doctors didn't expect him to live 3 months from when he first became sick. But he pushed and went as far as 3 years with this cough. And on Rosh Hashanah itself, he had a big pan of blood in front of him that he had spit up, that he had coughed up. And he called his student, Rav Nosson Zal, in to ask him, "What do I do?" And there were about 600 people that were gathered to hear him speak that last Rosh Hashanah of his life. People from the city of Uman, people that had walked for miles to come to spend Rosh Hashanah with him, students that were close to him. And Rav Nosson Zal said, "Chas v'shalom, impossible, ridiculous, no way that you're going to speak," you know, because he knew that speaking would aggravate the cough and Chas v'shalom could kill him. So Rabbi Nachman said to him, "But I've been waiting for this all year, and especially from this summer, I've been waiting for Rosh Hashanah." Rav Nosson said, "So what? Nothing, your life comes before anything else. What about all the people that are here? Who cares, people, you know?" And this went on until Rav Nosson Zal saw that Rabbeinu Zal really wanted to do it, that he really, really wanted to do it. And it's not like Rabbeinu Zal didn't know the halacha, didn't know that he's not allowed to commit suicide, you know. So Rav Nosson Zal started thinking, and he came up with a plan that instead of putting his chair in middle of the room like he would usually do, he would put the chair where Rabbeinu Zal would speak right at the entrance to this small room where he was staying, so that if at any point during the shiur he didn't feel good, in 1 second he's out of the room, you know. And as soon as he said that, Rabbi Nachman said, "Great, that's the way." And Rabbeinu Zal turned to the wall as if to say, turning to Hashem and saying, I'm ready to put my life on the line to give over this Torah." And in this chapter on Likutei Moran, he discusses about 7 or 8 major, major topics. One of the topics is what we're touching on here. We touched on it a little bit yesterday, and we're continuing this year, where Rabbeinu Zal spoke about what an incredible difference it makes each additional person that comes to join a group of people that are doing a mitzvah, whether they're learning Torah together, they're gathered for a shiur in Torah, or especially a gathering of tefillah, especially if it's Rosh Hashanah, high holidays, that each additional person that comes changes the map completely, completely. He doesn't add one, he could add a billion or a trillion to the value and to the effectiveness of the tefillah and the Torah that's taking place. And Rabbeinu Zal based this on a discussion in the Sefer Yetzirah, and Rabbeinu Zal explained it and proved it, as he usually does, very, very clearly. He showed how the Sefer Yetzirah mentions that when you're building, if you have two stones can make 4 combinations. Two stones can make 2 combinations. If you have an A and a B, you can format them as A and B and B and A. If you have three stones, A, B, C, they can form 6 combinations. 4 stones, 24 combinations, and so on and so forth. And when you get to 10, 11, it gets into the trillions, and the numbers jump incredibly quickly. And Rabbeinu Zal said, these stones, the letters of the words that we speak in Torah and Tefillah, and the souls of people who get together to do a mitzvah, they are these stones, which when combined, they build batim. Rabbeinu Zal used the word batim, houses. Doesn't mean literally houses, it means spiritual houses, houses of Kedusha, like a Beis HaMikdash, a holy sanctuary, a holy temple. And now we're continuing. Over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal expounds on it a lot, And Rav Nosson Zal touched on this in the previous year that we had, and now he's going to continue with one of the most important concepts in Breslov that we're going to be addressing in this next paragraph, as we'll see.
Which chapter in Likutei Maran?
Chapter 8 in the second half of Likutei Maran. It's entitled Tiku Toichacham, based on the Pasuk Tiku B'Chodesh Shofar, which we say on Rosh Hashanah. There are three major chapters there, chapter 1, 5, and 8, which were the last 3 years of Rabbeinu Zal's life. Each one is a world, an ocean. V'zeh b'chinas goydel hamaylo lasois mitoyrois tfilois. Rav Nosson Zal says, based on what we've been learning here, we will understand the incredible value of turning Torah into tefillah, making prayers out of the Torah that one learns. Ki ikar pigam kol ha'averois hu b'hatzirufei oisiois shel kol mitzvah. We touched on this in the previous year. Now Rav Nosson Zal is elaborating on this, that the world was created with speech, with letters, with words. Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. Hashem created the world with words. And everything in existence, everything in creation, is comprised of letters. On a spiritual level, we know physically things are made up of water and air, different components that you can break down each thing in the world into. On a spiritual level, one of the most important spiritual forces behind every single thing in this world is letters. The letters that were used to create that item, and the letters that continue to give life to that item. A table. We know that in science, you study a table is made up of molecules and atoms, and the protons, the electrons go around it. They leave out one minor item from all of the discussion, the Hashem factor. What makes the electron go around? Who tells it to go around? Who gives it a push? That they don't discuss. But we know that there's the Hashem factor in everything in existence and everything in creation. And the Sforim show us that the Hashem, we know that the Zohar HaKadosh says Hashem and the Torah are one. Kudshei Barichu v'Yiraiso Chadu. So the letters of the Torah are Hashem also. And they are the source of life in every single thing in existence. We know that the Torah has in it mitzvahs, commandments, which are what keep the world going. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Imlo Brisi, if not for my covenant, Chukoi Shamayim Voretz Lo Samti. The laws of heaven and earth stop. They cease to function. The plug gets pulled on all of creation if the Torah ever stops to function, to be studied in the world, to be practiced. So as we're performing, as we're studying Torah, and as we're performing the mitzvahs, we're injecting life into everything in the world. When a person does a mitzvah, let's say the mitzvah, a person finds an article, something that somebody lost, and they find it, a bag, whatever, they pick it up, they take it home, they put up signs in the area where they found this item saying, if anybody lost a bag with, you know, please contact this phone number or this address, come by, and if you prove that it's yours, you know, I'll give it to you. The person performing that mitzvah of Hashava Saveda, the letters in the Torah that define that mitzvah come to life. And those letters are formatted in a way that gives life to the person who performs the mitzvah and that gives life to the whole world, to that neighborhood, to that city, to the whole world. When a person transgresses a mitzvah in the Torah, when a person chas v'shalom breaks Shabbos, or eats something unkosher or something like that, then the letters in the Torah that define that commandment, those letters are reformatted, rearranged to form a punishment, chas v'shalom, a punishment towards that person, or to inject negativity into the world, chas v'shalom. So now Rav Nosson Zal says here, ki ikar pigam kol ha'averois, one of the main damages that's caused by all sins is hu b'hatzirufei oisiois shel kol mitzvah, is regarding the combinations of letters of each and every mitzvah in the Torah, shekilkel hatziruf hakodesh shelosa hamitzvah, that by a person committing this sin, by the person transgressing, they have spoiled, they have damaged the combination of letters. That combination of letters that was supposed to give life and blessing to the world has suddenly been rearranged to inject suffering into the world. And the Sifrei Kabbalah give many examples of this. In Hebrew, you have the word oneg, which means pleasure, ayin nun gimel. The same three letters can be arranged to form the word nega. Nega means illness, suffering. You have the word tsohar, tzadek heresh, which means light. You have the word tsoro, which means suffering. And there are thousands of examples like this, where depending on our actions, if we're doing good things, then the letters of the Torah are being arranged in a form that injects blessing and good and health into the world. Chas v'shalom, we commit sins, those same letters are reformatted to inject curses, sickness, destruction, harm into the world. Kemuva b'hatoyra anoichi, as Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this in chapter 4 in Likutei Moran. Ayin Shom, look over there where Rabbeinu Zal has this discussion about the letters and the mitzvahs that we do and the sins that we do and how they relate to the letters. V'ikar hatzirufim kedoshim nishavim al yidei hatfila. Kemuvan b'hatoyra nal. And the place where this really happens the most is in our prayers, when we take words, letters, and form them into words of tefillah. And those words of tefillah are things, again, that bring blessing and shefa to the world. Ki ha-tefillah hi shoyresh ha-toyrah kanal. Because as we showed in the previous year, tefillah is the source from which Torah draws its light. The letters of the Torah receive their chiyus from tefillah. We quoted the pasuk Umayon mi beis Hashem yetze, that there's a wellspring, there's a spring that comes forth from the house of Hashem. The spring, the ma'ayan, is the Torah. The beis Hashem is tefillah. There's a pasuk ki beisi beis tefillah yikori l'chol amim, so that the beis hamikdash is called a beis tefillah, even though it had Torah in it also. It had the Sanhedrin Agdoila. It had the highest level of Torah that was being brought into the world was also in the beis hamikdash. But we see that the beis hamikdash is referred to as Hashem's house of prayer. Ki beit vahavioisim el harkotchi v'simachtim beveis tfilosi. There are many psukim like that. So from the house of prayer goes forth a spring, a mayan, which is the Torah. Ki kol hatfilo hi klula basora minei negina shebohem yosa dovra melcha lo v'shom sefer tehillim. Because all prayers are comprised of and are connected to the 10 forms of song with which David HaMelech formatted the book of Tehillim. Shekolul mikol hatfilois v'shirois v'tishpochai sheboilam. The book of Tehillim, the book of Psalms, which is a composite of all possible prayers and praises to Hashem that exist. Kihu ne'im zemirois Yisrael, because Dovra Melch is referred to as the sweet singer of Klal Yisrael. Vasora mine negina, and the 10 types of song which make up the book of Tehillim, hein bechinas tamim, they are related to the musical notes in the Sefer Torah. We know that in the Torah, there's letters, there's the crowns on the letters, there's the vowels under the letters, and then there's the musical notes, the tamim, which are related to the 10 type. Tamim is music, it's song, which are connected to the 10 types of song with which the book of Tehillim is written. Bechinas neginas hatamim, the song of those musical notes. V'hatamim hein tachlis shoyresh ho'elyoin shel kol bechinas tamim nekudos tagenoises. And the musical notes are the top. They are the highest level of all the components from which the Torah is made up of. The letters are the lowest level. Then comes the crowns, then comes the vowels, Then comes the musical notes, which is the top of the top. Ki hanekudois manhigin lahatagin voisiois, because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the vowels lead the letters and the crowns. A letter, a Hebrew letter, the letter Aleph with a crown on it, you can't do anything with it yet. You don't know how to pronounce it until there's a vowel underneath it. When you see the letter alone without a vowel has no pronunciation. Nothing. When I put a vowel under it, when I put an E under it, it becomes he, E, V. If I put an E under it, it becomes ve, E. So the vowels give life to the letters and the crowns. They lead the crowns and the letters, the hatamim and the musical notes, lanekudos. They lead the vowels. Because again, even if you have a vowel under a letter or vowels under a word, it's a standalone word. The musical notes are what put together pieces of sentences or whole sentences. The musical note is what tells you what's a section. For example, you have mercha, tipcha, munach esnachto, or you have mapach, pashto, zakev, gotol. Those that are familiar with the musical notes, there are sets, and those sets define how the words in a pasuk go. And they can actually sometimes make a difference in how we interpret a pasuk, whether this word belongs to the first half of the pasuk, or it belongs to the second half of the pasuk. The musical notes are what are going to define that. Kamuvan batikunim, as is explained in the Tikkunei Zohar. Hainu shekol hatzirufim shel ha'isiyos shenishavim al yidei hanekudos, meaning that all the combinations of letters that are defined by the vowels underneath them, hakol nase al yidei hatamim, all of it is being controlled and guided by the musical notes, Shehem Shoyresh HaKoyel. They're the source of everything. They're on top of everything. They're in control of the big picture. V'hatamim hu bechinas tefila kanal. And the musical notes of the Torah, that's synonymous with prayer, as we showed before. Because we said prayer, the source of all prayer is the book of Tehillim, which is comprised of 10 types of song. And in the Torah, there's also an aspect of the Torah which is song, the musical notes, the tamim, so, which is the highest level in Torah is the musical notes. So the tamim of the Torah are synonymous with prayer, tefillah. We see that the highest, the peak, the top of the mountain in Torah, which is the musical notes, is tefillah. And we find that there were great tzaddikim, like the Vilna Goin and other great tzaddikim, who gave us some examples of how deep these musical notes are. One example that we've mentioned in the past, there's a story in the Gemara which says Rav Papa was once in the home of another rabbi, and one of them was going down the steps, and he slipped. He slipped on a step, on a staircase. So the other rabbi, his friend, said to him, could it be that this is an indication that you were presented with an opportunity to give tzedakah, to give charity, and you passed up on it, and that's why you slipped? And the rabbi commented, the rabbi responded to it. The Vilna Goyen says, hey man, what in the world does that have to do with, what does slipping on a step have anything to do with giving charity? The Vilna Goyen says, it's simple. If you look in the Chumash, the mitzvah that defines giving charity says, open your hands. Open your hand to the poor person. Pasoach tiftach. The musical notes under those two words are darga tevir, which in Aramaic, darga means a step, tevir means broken. Those are the names of... It's simple. If you learn the musical notes in the Torah, you know that when I saw that a step broke on the staircase, right away, association with this and... So we see that there is this limud. There is incredible, incredible depth in the vowels and a much, much higher level in the musical notes. And Rav Nosson Zal shows us here that what are the musical notes? They are tefillah. They are tefillah, just like Tehillim. That's what tefillah is. It's a song to Hashem. Shiru l'Hashem shir chodosh. It's 10 different types of song. V'alkein iker hisavus hatzirufim shemehem nerga kol hatoyra hualidei hatfila. And therefore, the main thing that defines how the letters combine together, from which the whole Torah is woven, the tapestry of Toiva, that of Torah, is the letters, how the letters are woven together to form words, to form sentences, hualidei hatfila, is defined by tefillah, by the musical notes. V'alkein yefsher lovoi l'shum hasoga b'Torah, and it's for this reason that it's impossible for a person to come to any proper understanding of Torah, kiyum al yedei tefillah, other than by praying, by begging Hashem, help me understand the Torah the right way. And this is why the halacha says that a Jew is not allowed to approach the Torah without first saying a prayer. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam asher kiddushonu b'mitzvoso v'tzivonu lasuk b'divrei Torah v'harevna v'birchas haTorah. If a person learns without saying those brachas, he's committing a transgression. Because you can't begin in Torah without prayer. It's like you didn't turn on the main switch. The main switch, the musical notes, the thing that's on top of everything that's going to define how the Torah comes together is the tefillah. K'may shekosu b'simen chof, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 20 in Likutei Moran, al kein, therefore, tzrichen lasos me hatoyrois tefillos. Therefore, one of the most important things that a Jew needs to do as part of their Yiddishkeit is to turn their Torah into tefillos, into prayers. Meaning, what does that mean exactly? Dahainu, meaning, kishaloymeid eza Torah, when a person is studying a portion in Torah, v'hu rochoik adayin meyosei Torah, and he sees that he's still very, very far from living up to that standard. The Torah speaks about being nice to your neighbor, being grouchy, always looking for bad, always complaining. I see I'm very, very far from what the Torah defines is the proper thing to do. Ki adayin lo yihischi lekaima, because I haven't even started yet fulfilling this mitzvah in the Torah. That's one example. Oy she'adayin lo yikima b'shleimo. So even if I am doing it, I know that there's still a lot of room for improvement. Whether it's shalom bayis, whether it's tzedakah, whether it's getting up early in the morning, with all the different precepts, things that we learn in different parts of the Torah, whether it's in the Chumash, whether it's in the Shulchan Aruch, wherever it is, or in Sifrei Musar, what should a person do? Hu tzorech lehispalel harbe al zeh l'Hashem yisborach sheyizkeh l'kayma. The person has to daven a lot to Hashem, begging Hashem to have to help me fulfill what I learned, to help me live up to that standard, to help me grow, get to that level. Mikol shkein, how much more so, kishyodea biatzmoy she'ovar aleza Torah, when a person knows that they violated, they're learning the laws of Shabbos, and they come across things and they say, wow, I didn't know. I've been doing this, I've been committing this sin. Every Shah, I've been doing this wrong. I've been setting up the blech the wrong way. I've been lighting candles the wrong way. Well, I didn't know you're supposed to make the bracha before. I thought you could make it. The minute a person realizes that, hu tzorech bevadai lehispalel harbe l'Hashem yisborach, the person has to daven a lot to Hashem, and Rav Nosson Zal doesn't throw in that word for, this doesn't mean, Hashem, help me do this mitzvah, have a nice life, see you later. It's nothing like that. It means really investing time and effort to plead with Hashem, to beg Hashem to help me understand the Torah correctly and interpret it correctly and to apply it the right way in all situations. V'lasos mehatorah tefila, to turn the Torah into a prayer. L'hispalel harbe l'Hashem yisborach sheyizke me'ato l'kayim kol ma shekos b'Torah zois, to beg Hashem that I should be zoche starting today to fulfill exactly what I learned, to correct all my mistakes in this particular area of Torah that I'm studying now. Ki al yedei tefila yizke l'sakein hakoil, because through tefillah, a person can be worthy and successful in fixing everything, in correcting everything. Because through prayer, he can reformat the letters. He can correct those formations of the letters. And put them back in their proper place. Better than they were new. Better than when they were good. Usually we say that once something's broken, it can never be as good as new. In Judaism, we know that's not true. We know that a Baal Tshuva, Baal Tshuva means somebody who went off the derech, who was not religious and became religious, can attain higher levels than a person who never went off the derech. That a broken, or repairing a broken vessel can sometimes make it stronger, better than new. That leg that was broken by using certain kind of crazy glue, you can hit that leg now with a sledge. The new leg, the other leg that didn't break, you can break it. This leg, you can hit it with a sledgehammer, you ain't gonna break it. Ki ikar hisavus hatsirufim, because the main thing that defines how these letters combine together, shehin bechinas hisavus habatim anifloim, which is also what determines the sanctuaries that are built from these letters, the temples that are built from these letters, while yidei hatfila kanal is accomplished through tefillah, as we saw earlier. The alkein, and it's for this reason that hatorah mascheles bebeis the bereshis, that the first letter in the Torah is a capital B, a large base, that large base of Bereshis, which we just read last week. Vegam Bereshis hu roish bayis. And the Tikkun Ezer tells us also that the word Bereshis is comprised of two words, roish, reish alef shin, and bayis, beis yud tov, which is one of the titles of the tzaddik. The tzaddik is called the Rosh Bayis, the master of the house of Hashem. As the Tikkun Ezer shows the different combinations of Bereshis. Ki ikar binyan ha-Torah, hu'al yedei hisavus habatim hanoiroim anal, because the main building of the Torah is accomplished by generating those awesome houses, those batim, shenasim al yedei ha-tfila kanal, which are generated through our prayers, as Rabbeinu Zal shows over there in chapter 8 in Likutei Moran. Shekulam nasim benivnim al yedei ha-roish bayis, where the one in charge of all of that construction, the general contractor, is the tzaddik, the tzaddik emes, the leading tzaddik, who is called the roish bayis. Shehu habalabayis shel hoilam. He is the one who Hashem puts in charge. He's called the balabayit of the world. Shehu hatzadik hadoir hoemes, which is the leading tzaddik of the generation. Shehu oisek lekabetz hanefoshois. He's the one who's involved in gathering together all the Jewish souls. Velivnois mehem habatim haneflom vaneromanal, and building with them these awesome, wondrous temples, these houses. Le'en kates, an infinite number of them. Ulahalois shashum gdoilum of Hashem isbora b'lierech, and to generate incredible pleasure to Hashem that the tzaddik is zoche to generate by gathering together all the Jewish souls. As we understood from Rabbeinu Zal's holy discussions on this topic. This tzaddik is referred to as the balabayit, the master of the home, of these homes, these base tefillahs. Venikro roish bayis, and the Tikkun Ezer refers to him as the roish bayis, bechinas bereshis, shemishom binyan kol haTorah. The entire Torah comes from the bays of bereshis. V'chol nefesh v'nefesh shebo etzloi, and therefore each and every Jew who comes to the tzaddik, v'nizvaseif la'kibbutz hakodesh, and joins his community, joins his gathering, Nikra Shochein is referred to as a neighbor. Another neighbor moved into the neighborhood. Another neighbor joined the community. Vaidei ribu yashchenim nisrabin bote hatfila lein kates. And the more neighbors that join, the more they multiply the number of batim, the houses that are built, the houses that are generated, the base tefillahs that are generated as a result of this.